Those long lines at the precincts and the floods of absentee ballots were proof that Michigan voters cared about this midterm election a lot. More than 4 million people cast ballots. That's something like 52% of the voting age population. And folks, that is the highest turnout for a midterm election in this state since 1962. Let's talk results with Michigan Radio's political analyst Zoe Clark. Who or what do you think got voters here so fired up?
Well, I mean, of course, we consistently heard about the blue wave for months and months. And I think there's something to that. I think there was enthusiasm both for and against the sitting president. That is not something unusual, though, for midterms in terms of the amount of House seats that President Trump lost. It's actually quite within the realm of what we see. The party in power that first midterm tends to lose seats, particularly in the House.
But this turnout.
In Michigan, the turnout absolutely does. And when we sit down and finally look at the numbers, I think it will be more younger voters and it will be female voters, particularly in areas like Oakland County. And looking, I can't wait to sit down and dig through the numbers of both Macomb, Oakland, seeing what college-educated white women did is one group that has gone back and forth. Obama, Romney, Obama, Trump, and that portended well for Gretchen Whitmer, as we will have talked about for as we all like to do as political analysts, sitting back and reading the tea leaves. But this really was an election year made for women, and women voters also just turned out.
Well, here we have a Democratic governor for the first time in 8 years, but Gretchen Whitmer will have a GOP-controlled state House and Senate. So looking at that, how do you think it'll work out in terms of working together and, more importantly, getting things done for Michigan?
Well, it's a great question. And first, what I would say is, you know, whether you are for Gretchen Whitmer or whether you, you know, voted in favor of Gretchen Whitmer, whether you didn't, the fact of the matter is she has more experience in Lansing than any governor since John Engler. Of course, Rick Snyder ran against this idea of being a politician. He was a fix-it businessman. He was going to come in kind of a political outsider. There was Jennifer Granholm, only had been attorney general before she ran. And so if there was one person that was sort of up to the job of trying to figure out how to work with this legislature of a different party, I would look to Gretchen Whitmer. And there was a very interesting moment this morning. You know, these candidates, after they win, they do the press conference, and all the reporters are there, and they're asking, what's on your agenda? What are you going to do first? And this exact question was, which is, okay, you know, you're this Democratic governor, but hey, how are you not going to have stalemates with both a Republican state House, a Republican state Senate? And what you saw was her reaching out already for compromise.
Whether I can find common ground on issues with Republican leaders or not, we are going to sit and meet and start to build relationships. And I think when you talk, you can find common ground, but if you're not talking, you don't have any shot at it.
Now, let's, you know, keep this tape. Let's record it in a year. We will, you know, figure out what to do with it. But what she did this morning is say, A, I'm going to restart having quadrant meetings way more often. Now, quadrant meetings, for those of folks, again, only in Lansing really even know about this term, but this is the state majority leader, the state Senate minority leader. It is the Speaker of the House, and it is the minority leader in the House. So it is the quadrant plus the governor. And Rick Snyder has not been having those as regularly. And Whitmer basically said, we're going to do that, and we're going to do it more often. Because I think what she knows, as we all can look at, is if she's going to get things done, if she's going to fix the damn roads, a governor can't simply sign a declaration that says, hey, let's fix those damn roads. You are going to need the legislature. And so what she did was she was putting out an olive branch. Now, we will see how long that lasts for. But if there was any governor who knows the levers and how to work a legislature, it is Gretchen Whitmer, who spent 14 years there. And in the end of her years, there was the Senate minority leader.
We're talking about the results of the midterms with Michigan Radio's political analyst Zoe Clark. State House and Senate results, anything surprise you there?
Well, I think, and going back, you know, to where we started the conversation, Cindy, and about this idea of the blue wave, I think a lot of political experts were assuming or thought that it was very likely that the Michigan State House could go Democratic. That is not the case as of recording right now. And we should say results have not all come in. We are still waiting to dot the I's and cross the T's from the Secretary of State.
But it's a pretty safe bet.
And it looks like the Michigan Senate will be 22 Republicans to 16 Democrats. The Michigan House, 58 Republicans to 52 Democrats. So this is a much smaller Republican majority. But, you know, it's still not quite what I think folks expected. In fact, in the, you know, weeks up leading to the election, there was some thought of, oh, my goodness, could Democrats take, you know, the Senate, which would be, it's been decades since that happened. So that's really interesting. But on the other hand, you've got a big blue wave in terms of the statewide races, right? I mean, Gretchen Whitmer, Debbie Stabenow, Dana Nessel, Jocelyn Benson. So it's this really interesting.
Democratic women going to Congress.
Democratic, speaking of a quadrant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's this interesting thing that yet again, I think, says that Michigan is a purple state, right? And it's so much about the candidates, and it doesn't feel like it's so much about the party and how candidates were able to connect, you know? And of course, that fits into the environment. And when you look at the 8th Congressional District, when you look at the 11th Congressional District, both going towards Democrats. I mean, yes, you know, Democrats did well, but there is still a state Senate and a state House that is in Republican control for, at the minimum, the next 2 years.
I want to talk a little about Democrat Jocelyn Benson is our next Secretary of State. What do you expect to see from her?
Well, I mean, it's really interesting that not only is a Democrat taking over, but some very progressive ideas about how we vote in Michigan also was approved in Prop 3, that we will now have enshrined in the Michigan Constitution the right for straight ticket ballot votes, that we can now have to not lie, not that anyone would possibly do that, but lie to our county clerks in order to get a ballot, right? You can just get a no reason absentee ballot, same day registration. So it will be interesting to see how she takes these things and implements them. And it's very different had Proposal 3 not, because some of those things that we've talked about, Republican Secretary of States have really pushed for. No reason absentee voting. That's been a Republican Secretary of State issue for years and years.
But now it's going to happen. And she's got the skill set to know what to do with election law.
I mean, look, Jocelyn Benson has literally written the book on being a Secretary of State in Michigan. So again, as we're talking about qualified candidates, she knows this job. And in fact, she ran for the job in 2010 during a big Republican red wave that year and lost it. And so it's going to be interesting to watch to see how she does this job.
And Democrat Dana Nessel beat former House Speaker Tom Leonard. She'll be our next Attorney General. But it was a tight race. Wasn't called until this morning.
It was not called to this morning. And one of the things that that's aside from focusing on in the terms of this, you know, year of the woman. But let's also focus on that Dana Nessel is Michigan's first openly gay statewide a candidate who won. And when you put that into context, that 14 years ago in 2004, Michigan voters voted to outlaw same-sex marriage, you know, less than two decades ago. And then Dana Nessel was the one who was the lawyer who fought for the legalization of same-sex marriage and the U.S. Supreme Court. It's just fascinating what a decade and a half can do, and it will be very, very interesting to see Dana Nessel, really a firebrand in this seat.
Michigan Radio's political analyst, Zoe Clark, as always. Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you, Cindy.
Let's end today's show with some final words from voters across Michigan today.
My name is Barbara Tavolacci, and I'm from Howell. I think it was screwy. I'm sorry that the stupid Democrats won. I guess that's all I have to say. It's very disappointing, and I hope this state gets what they want, because with Democrats in charge, especially that Gretchen, whatever the hell her name is, we're going to go right downhill. I think it's ridiculous to have the marijuana thing passed, and the reason for that is they used to show it on television years ago that it fries your brain, and recreational, we all know that's not going to happen.
My name's Nicole Neve. I'm from Norton Shores. I felt that the turnout was great. I felt the candidates' voices were heard, and yeah. In my school district, there was a big millage to go through for the schools, and that passed with like 6,700 votes, so that was a big issue for me.